Well, we have Charles Billingsley on the line with us today. Charles, how are you, man?
Man, I am doing great. Just running around the country this week.
Yeah.
But having a good time, man. How you been?
I've been doing good, and we really enjoyed the Life Beyond Amazing rally in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then again last night, we streamed the one last night from Tampa, and just God's got his hand on you, my brother.
Thank you, my friend. I tell you what, the worship at these events are just so fun to me, you know, and the crowds are huge, and tell you what, the Lord has really just anointed Dr. Jeremiah and his teaching, and this new book, Life Beyond Amazing, is just an awesome, awesome book, so I hope everybody will go grab it, and that we'll get as many people out to these rallies as we can.
And we weren't gonna necessarily talk about this today, but the song that you wrote for Life Beyond Amazing is tremendous. I hope that is on an upcoming project for you maybe someday.
Well, very, very possible. We may do that, or we may just throw it out as a single on iTunes. But you know, it's funny because my friend Michael Neal and I, we were going to write that song together, and I, you know, I talked about a few ideas with him, and we were sort of fishing through some thoughts, and then one day after church, it's like the Lord just sort of brought the rest of that song to him, and so what started off as a long process ended up wrapping up pretty quickly, because I loved what he had written, and so we pulled together our resources and got it all done, and man, it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Just so great. Yeah, really great.
I've read on your social media any number of times that, first of all, you have a new Christmas project coming out. It's Christmas time again. And I've read that you have said any number of times that you probably have the most fun making this new Christmas record of all the albums you've made. Why is that, Charles?
Well, no doubt. And it's because we went back to the 50s and the 40s and did the record like they used to do it in the golden age of recording.
Yeah.
You know, there was a day when everybody would come together in the studio at one time, and they would do these recordings all in the room at the same time, which creates an incredible amount of synergy and energy. And you know, the arrangements are all pre-done, so that when everybody gets in the room, it's just like, wow, it just comes together just like that. The problem is it's very expensive to do it that way, because you got to pay everybody to be in the room at the same time, and all the engineering that goes into it, and all that stuff, and it's a lot of players. You know, in this day and age, records, we don't tend to use a ton of players, but with a big band and full work and string section and all that, you really don't have a way around it. You got to pay them all.
Yeah.
So rather than cutting everything separate, we just decided to do everything at the same time like they used to do in the early days.
And that's
it's a difficult thing to do for an engineer. That's why we hired the best one in the world, Jorge Vida.
Yeah.
He has been with David Foster the last 15 years, and so he's done all of those Andrea Bocelli and Michael Bublé and Celine Dion projects. And so he was gracious enough to agree to do mine. And boy, you can just tell his handiwork, along with Tim Davis, the producer, and Tony Guerrero, the guy who did the arrangements. It just all came together to create, I believe, is my best project ever.
And Charles, that's releasing when?
That's releasing, this Friday, October 6th, it releases on iTunes, and then the physical product is available even now as we speak, so you can get it just about anywhere, of course online, Amazon, iTunes, and all that, but also it will be in some stores around the country as well.
That's great, you know, and I'm going to go ahead, I know better than to ask an artist what his what his favorite cut is off the record, but I'm going to tell you mine.
And good, I want to hear it.
And it might surprise you.
Oh, yeah?
Dig That Crazy Santa Claus.
Oh, that is too funny. You know what? you know what's funny is, we're doing a radio release, okay? And the radio release is Silver Bells, but and it's going to all the big secular stations and everything. But they put on there, we did a radio edit of Dig That Crazy Santa Claus, because some of the people absolutely love that tune, and they think radio might really like it. So,
yeah.
Well, so that's what we're doing, man. It's pretty funny. I think it's funny that you like that one too.
I actually got a copy when we were at in Fort Wayne at the Life Beyond Amazing, and I listened on the way home. And it just took, my wife and I both kind of had tears of joy in our eyes because we were remembering, you know, growing up and you're around the tree and mom and dad's passing out presents. And it just,
yeah.
It really has that early Americana feel to it.
Isn't that funny? Because, that's what they said. They said it feels like a little bit of Elvis.
Yeah.
And a little bit of, you know, whatever. And it's just so fun. I mean, this record is just so much fun. But it's also really nostalgic and just beautiful at the same time. I tell you, there's just nothing like the creativity and the energy that comes from all those players in the room at the same time. It's just amazing. There's I wish you could have been in the room.
I wish I could have too, yes. I really enjoy that stuff. And I'll tell you, there's a little bit of bebop in there, and there's, like you said, Elvis, and also the big band sound comes through real strong on it, you know. You made this available through World Help originally, didn't you, Charles?
Well, yeah, what I did is, it's available, you know, really through a variety of different sources, but World Help has been the arm of the humanitarian arm that's really helped me get the word out on this record, because what they did is they pre-bought several thousand units, and so everywhere I go, the units I'm selling from my table are not mine. They're owned by World Health.
Right.
So that way, every dollar that's given at my table goes to helping refugees in the Middle East. We created a program called Christmas for the Refugees. Because, you know, it's one of those things where it got a lot of coverage over the last several years, and then all of a sudden, you know how it is. It's like the hurricane victims.
Right.
After a couple of weeks, when it's not exciting news anymore, it goes away. But the problem is, the issue and the problem is still very much a reality.
Yes, sir.
For people in Puerto Rico and Florida and Houston, and then also for these millions of refugees who've been misplaced, who've been driven out by ISIS and the radical Islamic terrorists, and there's still millions of people living all over the Middle East, and parts of Africa and parts of Europe like Greece, that live in tents and have nothing.
Right.
And we're not talking about people who once were, you know, homeless or whatever. We're talking doctors and lawyers with families who were driven out of, you know, their communities where they were helping people and, you know, going to church and educated people, you know, and suddenly they're homeless with nothing, absolutely nothing. No furniture, no clothing, no food, no medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so every dollar proceeds from this record goes to helping these refugees. And I tell you, I'm thrilled and honored to be able to do it. And I just thought, you know, man, if we can get some good music in people's hands and at the same time put a Bible and a blanket in somebody else's, that's a good way to celebrate Christmas.
My. That's awesome. And that's what Christmas is all about. You know,
that's right. That's exactly right.
I get off on this every once in a while, and I'm sure that my audience is going to hear me preach this a few times, but Christmas, it really boils down, and the older I get, too, I think, it's not about the next gadget I can accumulate or the next toy that I can stack up in the garage. It's about touching someone's life in a way that will point them to the cross, you know?
You're so right. And you know what? I mean, Christmas time is the time of year when people's hearts are most open, I believe, to the gospel, because it's the only time of the year that you hear the gospel being preached on secular radio. They don't know they're preaching it, but when you play a song like "O Holy Night," or, you know, or "Silent Night," or something like that, I mean, there's gospel message in those songs. And that's one of the reasons I didn't even worry with even, you know, just sending it to Christian radio this time. I wanted to get this music out into the hands of a mainstream audience, people who don't know the Lord, with the hope and the opportunity to do some shows and to do some TV programs that would open me up to a brand new audience who doesn't know the Lord at all.
That's right. And Charles, you know what's amazing to me too is that if we spend a lot of time in the church salting one another.
Yes, we do.
And preaching to the choir. Place. Yeah. And yeah. To take a step like that and head on out there, man, I'll tell you, we're going to be praying for you and you know, anyone else who's standing up and saying, I want to do that, because we need that.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'll be honest with you. This is not a cheap adventure. I mean, you know, the way of the world is money is the god, and so you got to pay to play.
Yeah.
And so it's costing me a small fortune. But you know what? I'm really enjoying it. I hired a publicist out of New York. I hired a radio guy who does, you know, does all kinds of mainstream stuff. And I'm really having a great time working with these people. And I'm enjoying just being able to, you know, be a little light in a darkened world. And I really do hope and pray that the Lord will use a song like Silver Bells to open me up to a new audience, so that, who knows, maybe in the spring or in the summer of next year, we're able to actually get some attention in that environment. Because more than anything, I want to have a salt ministry. I want to be out in the highways and byways outside of the church, using the gifts God's given me, but pointing people to the truth.
Right. And that is so much a part of what I've always seen in you, Charles. You know, and I'm not trying to heap accolades on you here this morning, but I've always seen that. And
thank you.
There's a handful of artists that are really special that way. Charles, let's get off the subject just briefly one moment, because I'm dying to ask you this question.
Yeah.
How do you like sunny Southern California?
Well, there's not a lot to not like in Southern California. I mean, you know, if you like 75 degree weather and sunshine every day of your life, then that's a good place to be. You know, it's a big city. I mean, San Diego is the eighth largest city in the country, and there's 6 million people there, and you know, there's a lot of people to reach. One thing I love about that culture is that, you know, they're not churchgoers and they don't know the Lord, but they'll tell you they don't. They're pretty open about it. You know, it's a very open culture in that you can have a conversation about God and it's pretty friendly.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're closed to the idea. It's just that they got so many other distractions as well. So, you know, it's a great culture. They're fun. They're so laid back and easygoing. I sat there at a red light the other day and watched the guy sit through two green lights because he was on his phone. And there's a long line of traffic behind him, and nobody even honked. It was hilarious. I couldn't believe it, but it's like, it's just a laid back culture.
We actually, my daughter lives in San Diego.
Oh, nice.
And we were actually out there just not too long before you went, and we do some work with a group called Pacific Beach Street Guardians.
Yeah.
And they are a homeless outreach.
Yeah.
And it's most all of the people are involved with the church in some capacity, but the organization itself is not a quote-unquote Christian organization. So it's a beautiful place. It's... You get out a little further. You get out toward the church in El Cajon, and that is a little hotter.
Oh, man, it goes up 20 degrees, you know, from the beach to my church is a 20-degree difference.
Is it really?
Yeah, and it's only 18 miles. It's crazy.
So you can get a hold of this record, as you said, anywhere, but if people wanted to donate to get the new Christmas album by Charles Billingsley, you can go to worldhelp.net, and
that's right.
And you can get it for a donation of $35, Charles?
Well, a donation of any amount will get you the CD, but a donation of $35 will get you the new CD plus a copy of the old CD, the Christmas CD that I did 10 years ago.
Cool.
For Kroger grocery stores.
Yeah.
And so you get two CDs plus that sends a full packet of food and supplies and medicine and blankets and everything that will feed a refugee for an entire month. So it's awesome. A pretty cool thing for $35. And if people can't remember World Help, you can always go to charlesbillingsley.com and click the link there as well.
And that was my next point, to get people to line up in prayer with you and to support your music ministry, charlesbillingsley.com. And are you booking concerts, Charles?
Oh yeah, man. I'm doing 20 Christmas concerts across the country. In fact, I'll be up in your area in Wooster, Ohio,
cool.
on Monday night, December 11th. So we're just kind of running around, and if people want to see that schedule, they can also find that on charlesbillingsley.com as well.
Well, I want to encourage everyone to touch base with charlesbillingsley.com and check out the great music there. We still have a few copies of Right Here
left.
And so the first five people who go out, just let me know. I went out and I checked Charles' website out, and we will send you a free copy of Right Here.
Awesome.
And we want to just say, Brother Charles, close us out with just a word that's on your heart here today.
Well, you know what's near and dear to my heart right now, because I'm preaching a message on it next Tuesday, is just the grace of God. And you know, when you consider what that means, just gaining a clear perspective of what the grace of God is, I think you have to go to just two things. You have to realize, first of all, you have to see yourself as a sinner. And boy, when we actually recognize our sin,
yeah.
and just how deeply we need the love and the grace of Jesus, it also points us to one other thing, that Jesus is our Savior. It's very simple. We're sinners, and we need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Amen. And boy, when you understand those two concepts, you begin to see just how powerful the grace of God is, and how wonderful the grace of God is, because it's the only hope we have to not only relieve us from our sin, but give us eternal life in heaven.
Amen.
And so as we move into the Christmas season, that's the simplicity of the message. We're sinners. Jesus came as our Savior. He's the only hope we've got. So I would just encourage anybody listening to remember the simplicity of the message of Christmas and to share it with as many people as you possibly can.
Amen. It's Christmas Time Again, brand new by Charles Billingsley. Charles, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Lynn. God bless you, buddy.
I'll be with you off the air here just for a moment. We'll be right back.